And I do hope I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God. Baruch Hashem. How are you?
I am good. Good on this beautiful, beautiful day.
Yes, they say this weekend is going to be wonderful.
That's what we want.
Yes. No?
So, Parshat Emor.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting Torah portion because it starts off saying that it starts talking about the special laws pertaining to the priest, the high priest, and the temple services. It talks about the festivals of the Jewish calendars, the weekly Shabbat, you know, Passover, the harvest, Shavuot, the counting of the Omer, so on and so forth. Then it talks about also the lighting of the menorah in the Holy Temple. But it spends quite a bit of time on the Moadim, on the festivals that are very important, paramount to our Jewish identity, you know, with Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Chanukah, Purim, so on and so forth. You know, there was a king that was once traveling with his child through the wilderness, and when a king travels, obviously, his entire entourage travels along, you know, the ministers, the guards, the attendants, the servants, so on and so forth, to do whatever he needs. Suddenly, the procession grounds to a halt, and the king's child has a request. He says, water. The crown prince says, I want water. Now, the king convened his cabinet to address the crisis. My son is thirsty. He said, you know, how are we going to get water in the wilderness, in the desert, in the Midbar? And after much deliberation with the parties, the two proposals were laid before the throne. One, we should dispatch, you know, the greatest horsemen on the fastest horses to go and get they'll go to the nearest settlement, and they'll bring water within an hour, so we'll have water for the prince.
Yeah.
Then there was another suggestion that he should put the men and equipment to task. They should, you know, erect make a hole and make a big sink, and then they should make a well right here. And with that, they should be able to, by the end of the day, hit water, hopefully, and they'll have water for the prince. Now, the king opted for the second proposal, and as soon as the royal engineers were boring a well through the desert, sand and rock, and towards evening they reached water, and the prince's thirst was quenched. And the prince asked his father, why? Why, after he had drunk his fill, did you trouble your men to dig a well in the desert? You know, after all, we have the means to obtain water a lot quicker, a lot easier. We have any means in the power that we want. We have right away. So the king said, absolutely, indeed, this is what I was doing. Such is our situation today. If you think about it, he says, perhaps one day, many years in the future, you will again be traveling this way. Perhaps, maybe, you'll be alone, you know, without the power or privilege that you enjoy now. Then the well dug today will be here to be able to quench your thirst then. But the prince says, father, in many years, the sands of times will have refilled the well, stopping its water, and everything will be, the memory of having a well there would be gone. And my son, said the king, you have spoken with wisdom and foresight. This is what we will do. We will mark the site of this well in our map and preserve our maps for years to come. And if you know the exact spot where it is, where it's sunk, it's very easy with minimum effort and toil to be able to just dig it out, and you have the water right there. And this is what they decided to do on every part of their journey. So whenever and under whatever circumstances that we travel this route, we'll be able to obtain water from this source. Now, people might ask me, why am I saying this story or this analogy? But this really refers to what we're talking about in this week's Torah portion, the festivals of the Jewish calendar, appointed time. you know, the callings of holiness. These are God's appointed times, which we shall call the holidays, the Moadim. Now, a festival is an appointment, rarely with the past, an encounter with an event and a phenomenon in our history.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity, rarely, to call forth the particular holiness of that day, to tap the spiritual resources. Now, each festival that we have marks the point in our journey through time at which God, accompanying us in our first steps as a people, supplied us with the resources that nurture our spiritual lives. You know, for example, in Passover, we're granted the gift of freedom. On Shavuot, which is coming up soon, God revealed himself at Mount Sinai and gave us the Torah. On Rosh Hashanah is the day that God became a king, and on Yom Kippur, and on Hanukkah, and Sukkot, and so on and so forth. Each one of them has all the festivals and special dates have a connection to the past and are period times on our calendar. But these were not one-time gifts from above. You know that God gave us Passover, it was one time and that was it. You know, the concept of freedom and wisdom and commitment and joy, peace. These are constant needs of the soul. The spiritual nutrients that sustain us in the journey through life. Like the king that we were talking about, God sunk wells at various points in our life, in our time, to serve as resources and sources of these blessings that God gave us, you know, of wisdom and of freedom and so on and so forth. And as we travel through the year, the year being a small little part of the entire universe of time, we encounter the festival, each really marking the location of a well-nurture for our soul. And so therefore, God has also provided us a map where the wells are, showing us the location in our journey through time. And the map also comes with, you know, with instructions how to reopen those wells. You know, for example, how do we reopen the wells that were given to us in the times of, you know, of commitment and of wisdom on Rosh Hashanah? It's through sounding of the shofar. And on Passover, through eating the matzah. And on Shavuot, through learning the Torah. So all of these things, and Hanukkah, lighting the menorah. So each and every such appointment on our calendar, each comes supplied with all the mitzvot and the observance, the tool to give us the ability to open the well and unleash the flows of its waters. And that's why it's so important when we have these holidays, when we have these mo'adim, as it's referred to in the Torah, to be able to give us the ability to reconnect with our past, to see how do I take those spiritual waters out of the ground that is covered now, to be able to allow us to continue doing what we're doing in our life. And that's really only through the holidays, the tools that are given to us to be able to uncover those wells. And when, you know, when I was reading that Torah portion, those verses, this week, and I was like, you know what? Wow, this is really, really speaks, I think, to everyday person and every part of our daily life, how that we're able to do anything that we want to do in Judaism. God gives us the tools and the ability. We just have to uncover them. We have to take off the dirt from the well. And with that, the well springs, the water, will be revealed. I thought that was just a beautiful, powerful message that we can all,
learn.
Make part of our life.
Yeah, yeah. I have an advice for that king with the water, but he could call Moses.
Yeah. He could. Moses would come with the rod.
He's the rock and water.
That's right.
It's like a fountain.
Yeah, exactly.
Rabbi, what about services this
week? So we have services. We have services Friday night at 7 o'clock, and Shabbat morning is at 9:30, and Sunday, Monday, and Thursday are the community meetings. We have Sunday at 8:15, followed by breakfast, which is at the Shahr, and then Monday and Thursday is at the JCC, at the Paratuf. It's a good day to start the morning off. So come, enjoy, start the day off right.
That's it. Rabbi, I want to wish you a sunny and happy weekend.
You too.
And Shabbat Shalom.
Be well. We'll talk next week. Shabbat
Thank
Shalom.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.